Welcome to session 21, called Chronic Fatigue and Internal Global Warming. Session 21 is centered around the renowned and insightful work of one of the world's leading authorities on integrated approaches to health and nutrition, Patrick Holford. Patrick believes that the symptoms of CFS are a kind of internal global warming, which is a perfect analogy for the chaotic and distressing myriad of things that go haywire inside our bodies when we have chronic, exhaustive, and pain conditions. Global warming means that we lose the luxury of predictability. Things are no longer how we expect them to be, and we need to make changes if we are going to protect ourselves in the future. As author of an impressive 45 books, Patrick's enthusiasm for what we do shines through, and this interview is a fantastic coup for us at the Chrysalis Effect, because his work was fundamental to the founder's recovery. We asked Patrick to give us his take on the diagnosis of ME. He explained, "The ME diagnosis is a slightly strange term, which means myalgic encephalomyelitis. In other words, inflammation of parts of your brain causing pain. And I haven't met anybody diagnosed with ME who's had that tested. So in a way, I prefer the title chronic fatigue syndrome. And it's a very real condition, and one that causes a huge amount of suffering. And any search for a single cure, be it a drug or a vitamin, I think is likely to be destined for failure. Because where I've got to is understanding that it's to do with the system's breakdown. So just as you hear about global warming, it's a kind of internal global warming. And you have to understand what in the fundamental biological systems goes wrong. And they're not always the same from one sufferer to another. At the Chrysalis Effect, we believe that there are lots of underlying causes and triggers for ME and CFS, and Patrick agrees, saying, "I always start by looking at digestion, because there are three parts to your digestion. First is literally, are you digesting your food well? Second, are you eating food that you may have become intolerant or allergic to? Third, is there some level of dysbiosis, having microbial imbalances on or within the body? And we're talking here about effectively some kind of infection or the wrong balance of bacteria and so on. And what very often happens for one reason or another in the CFS sufferer is that they end up with a more permeable digestive tract. The digestive tract is the size of a tennis court and about the thickness of a quarter of a sheet of paper, and is very easily damaged by alcohol, by antibiotics, and in fact, the biggest single cause of damage is by painkillers. If the gut becomes more leaky, then food can get through, incompletely digested, which causes the immune system to react. So very often we find is that most sufferers have what's called leaky gut syndrome. This is a real thing, and there are hundreds of papers published on this in medical journals. You can test it. There is a test where you drink something and you measure what goes in the urine, and you can tell if there is an increased leaky gut. This is a very common cause of becoming more and more food intolerant. And then there is a knock-on effect of this because it means that there is more stuff getting through into your blood than there should be, which creates more work for the liver. So the next step in this part of the process is poor liver detoxification. So there's digestion, and then there's liver detoxification, and then there's another part of the process. These are often interlinked, and that's why it's a complex condition that won't be dissolved by a single vitamin or drug. And that is literally how cells turn food into energy. For example, in a lot of fibromyalgia sufferers, what happens is that they don't completely turn food into energy. And you start to get a buildup of certain chemicals that shouldn't be there if the process was working properly. The one most people have heard of, for example, is lactic acid. So when you exercise, you don't have enough oxygen, so you make more lactic acid, and that makes the muscles stiff and tired. But very often there is a block in the way the body turns food into energy, and in one of the most critical paths. This path will involve magnesium, and also something called malic acid, which is what's in apples and cider vinegar. Magnesium malate, for some people, is amazing because it unblocks the ability to turn food into energy, So you can see that if a person has compromised liver detoxification, has developed intolerances, or is not able to turn food into energy, or even deal with the breakdown products of exercise, then what happens is eating food, eating too much food, eating different food, doing a little bit of exercise or strenuous activity, all of these making you feel so much worse. We asked if Patrick believes that poor methylation is key to your symptoms. Methylation refers to the name given to how your body handles toxins so they can be excreted from the body. And he explained, methylation happens at the rate of a billion reactions every couple of seconds. For example, it's methylation that makes neurotransmitters like adrenaline and insulin. And if you don't have the right B vitamins for you, then methylation doesn't happen properly. So very often, with people with CFS, you find a very high, poor methylation function, which is indicated by having a high level of homocysteine. So there are these fundamental pieces that are vital. Many people also lack essential fats, and that's a very important area, the omega-3 fats, the fats found in oily fish. So it's really a matter of finding which of these pieces aren't working and then unblocking them. We also mentioned how common IBS and candida are really big issues for ME sufferers. Yes, you see, candida is an infection of the gut. It's one of the ways you can have a virus or infection. And candida is a yeast organism that exists in all of us, so it's meant to be inside you, largely in the large intestine, and has a very important function, which is that when you die, it will digest you. So it's meant to be there. But it's not meant to be in the small intestine in large quantities. So a lot of sufferers do have an overgrowth of candida called candiditis, and there are all sorts of strategies that can help to eliminate that, including cutting right back on sugars and things like acid and oregano and oil. And there are all sorts of natural antifungal agents. But I do think that one of the oversights in the treatment of candida is the idea that you can completely eliminate it because it's actually meant to be there. What you often hear is about people having great results on an anti-candida diet and then a few months later it's back. So it sort of keeps coming back. So recently, we've been involved more in strategies that boost the body's immune system that would naturally keep the presence of candida at a very low level. And this is to do with a kind of antibody that's very important in the gut called FIGA. If a person's FIGA levels are very low, then whatever you do to try and eliminate candida is going to come back because the body's own immune system is not primed to keep it under control. So this thinking with candida is a double-sided attack. One is to eliminate the overgrowth of candida organism, and two, to get the immune system strong so that it can keep candida at bay in the future. The next thing we asked was his thoughts on encouraging people to eat right for their blood or metabolic type. Patrick, well, I think that maybe 10 years ago we were talking about metabolic typing and how you could pigeonhole people into fast metabolizers and slow metabolizers. And we had a nice example of that with the work of Dr. Pete D'Adamo and blood type. Depending on your blood type, you would need different foods and so on. And all of this was obviously true, but in a sense, it's starting to be overtaken by our biogenetic individuality. We have always spoken about biochemical individuality and how we are all different. But now, we are starting to learn about our genetic differences. And there is now reams of research into this area of creating biochemical differences. For example, that you would have to metabolize food in a different way to me. But ideally, you can kind of go beyond typing people into an absolutely individualized strategy. For example, as you can now do if you take a blood sample, and this can be done on a simple pinprick of blood, and find out if a person is producing antibodies to specific foods. Then you can literally identify which foods that person's immune system likes and which foods that person's immune system fights. So, although this isn't quite there yet, because it's rather expensive, we are moving to the point where you can actually have a swab on the inside of your cheek to identify your specific genetic variations. The concept of biochemical individuality, metabolic typing, biogenetic individuality is all important and probably in the medicine of tomorrow. We'll be able to look at very specifically what works for one person, as we're all different, there's no question. What we need to discover in those differences is what we need to maintain our health. What about migraines? You may be suffering with headaches or migraines. Migraines especially are an extremely common and difficult symptom to deal with in those going through recovery. We asked Patrick about this and he said, once again, migraines can absolutely be a consequence of allergy, and it's much more common in people who have poor methylation, which is indicated by a high homocysteine level. We know that deficiency in certain B vitamins, B2, B3, mean more chance for migraine. When given in significant quantities, less chance. We know that migraines can occur as part of detoxification or liver function issues. But probably the single most common cause of migraine, and not many people know this, is that the cervical vertebrae are out of alignment. So there is a muscular skeletal part, which is something I always check for in anybody suffering from CFS and migraine. It may be a combination of these, that you may have eaten a food you were allergic to. Your blood sugar is low, and you haven't been drinking enough water. Your neck is actually out of alignment. You're feeling very stressed. Enough of these factors can actually tip you over into a fully blown migraine. I used to have migraines every week of my life from when I was young, so it's an area that I've had to explore for my own reasons. As a migraine sufferer for many years, Elaine's experience confirms Patrick's findings. She says, I can absolutely testify to what Patrick is saying here. Migraines were such a major part of my illness. What began as headaches developed into migraines as my condition worsened. Poor liver function meant my body could not eliminate toxins, so chemicals and pain stayed in my body for a very long time. Unfortunately, I've had cervical spine issues, which are made worse when using a computer for long periods of time, and are only helped with osteopathic treatment and yoga. When I added stress, or for more accurately, an emotional upset into the mix, maybe some caffeine or a glass of wine, and hey presto, full-blown migraine. Migraine medication could make me vomit, and the most effective ones are vasoconstrictors, which imitate an angina attack in my body and prompt a worrying situation where I was referred to heart specialists for a series of heart scans and treadmill tests wired up to an ECG machine. It has taken me a long time to figure out my migraine pattern, so my recipe for staying migraine-free is this. Adequate rest. I don't really do long working days anymore. Limiting computer exposure. Regular meals. Milk thistle drops for liver detox. Avoid alcohol 99% of the time. I have found one particular organic white wine that I can have on special occasions. Kenderman's Organic. If I have one, I'm fine. I would avoid this until you're well recovered. Magnesium supplement. Drinking plenty of water. Regular cranial osteopathic treatment for the neck. Even now, if I break any of these rules, I can get a migraine. It's a very strong warning mechanism. We also asked Patrick about his research on depression, because it's another very common and completely understandable issue in our community. Patrick highlighted that a central issue with depression is that when you feel depressed, then you don't actually remember what it was you were going to do to make yourself feel better. Even if you do remember, you don't have the motivation to do it. Your best laid plans just go well off track. He went on to share an analogy that he calls the cave syndrome. Animals in the wild, when injured or not feeling well, would go and hide in the cave until they feel better. It's the same way that we go and hide in depression. There's a tremendous link between the gut and the brain, so when the gut isn't working and you're not feeling good, it actually triggers a kind of pressurized and introverted state, and we can sort of vanish down some black hole and don't want to see anyone and curl up in a ball. We don't want to get out of bed. The key to breaking out from this is to understand the gut-brain link to depression. The gut and brain are fundamentally linked. One of the amazing truths is that when you sort out nutrition, it has a phenomenal effect on how you think and feel. Even though there may be other issues about which we can become depressed, if we sort out nutrition, it's amazing how quickly that can lift. Of course, being debilitated and maybe not able to work or not able to really function in relationships, all of that is depressing. So one gets into a vicious spiral. Then, as a consequence of that, we may start taking substances like caffeine to try and give us more energy, or alcohol because we're feeling low and we want to numb the pain in some way. That just makes everything so much worse, and you spiral down and down and down. So yes, although depression is often part of the syndrome, there is a way out. We're often asked for a specific diet and good vitamin protocol to adopt for recovery. These are the ones on Patrick's essentials list. For most people, the most vital is a high-strength multivitamin and mineral, not based on RDAs, because they are irrelevant. You'll never get enough vitamins in a decent multivitamin. 2 grams a day is the equivalent of 44 supermarket oranges. This is actually what gorillas in London Zoo are given to mimic what they would be eating if they lived in a tropical jungle environment. So it can counteract a lot that is consistent with our evolution. And you simply cannot get that much in a multivitamin. The vitamins to focus on are vitamins A, B, C, D, and E. Also, minerals such as zinc and magnesium are especially important for people with chronic fatigue. Vitamin D, many of us are lacking, which is vital for our immune system and vital for our mood. So a decent multivitamin should provide us with at least 15 milligrams of vitamin D, and very few do. B vitamins, and then enough B vitamins, and roughly what we are talking about is 20 milligrams of B3, B6, B2, and B5. Do you know the RDA for B vitamins is 2 milligrams, which is simply not enough? Essential fats. Omega-3, NA, omega-6. I also take essential fats. Every day, I take a capsule that is both omega-3 and omega-6, but a lot more 3 than 6, because that's the one we are lacking. So, I'm talking about eating fish oils, which is omega-3, or evening primrose oil, which is omega-6. That's important. Some people report feeling worse after taking vitamins, so we asked about this. Patrick said, what is also very important is that if you suffer from CFS, then it's possible you may have alterations in your biology, and that means that what you need is different. And some people, if their liver function is not working quite right, they actually feel worse on vitamins rather than better. If that happens to you, then I think it's very, very important to see a nutritional therapist who can help you work out what you need to address this and see what's going on under the surface. If someone is in a low state, it's very difficult mentally to get out of that. What Patrick has seen in his experience reflects exactly what we notice with those in recovery. He explains, when we become used to functioning in a particular way and it starts to lift, it can actually be quite scary because you have to go back to work and start interacting and engaging. And so that becomes an issue that needs to be supported. I know from my clients with severe mental health issues, a question I always ask is, what are you going to do when you get better? So what are your plans for the future when you are well? Having that sense of how you want your life to be and to understand how you are right now is a temporary blip. And with the right advice, you can absolutely get out of it. That's important. And also, as your energy comes back, it does give you the energy to make changes in life. What are those changes you need to make? Two of my favourite sayings are, depression is only anger without enthusiasm. And, don't get sad, get mad. So, in a sense, what you're angry about and what's not working in your life. And the other thing is that very often when people do feel low, it may be because they are not living their life true to who they really are. So the questions to ask are, am I betraying myself? Or am I really living the life that I need to live? And generally, somewhere between the biochemical and physical imbalances that can generate CFS and the psychological patterns that keep us stuck, somewhere in the process of resolving both of those, it is possible to recover and truly be the person you want to be. You may remember this from session 7, when Kelly shared how important nutrition was to her recovery. Do go back and re-listen just in case you are trying to do it all yourself and feel now that it might be helpful to see a nutritionist on either of our accredited recovery directories. Our top tips this week are from Patrick Holford. Number one, work with the experts. Don't give up. Know that this is absolutely something that you can come through, and you need to work out a strategy working with recovery experts that can help to bring you through it. Know that there is a way through, and you just need to be open to learning about the critical pieces. Address your digestion. Always start by focusing on your digestion. Find out if there are foods you are allergic to, and there are very good laboratories like York Tests, who measure IgD food intolerances with a simple pinprick test. So, many people react to wheat, milk, etc. Really explore digestion. And before you embark on complex diets like anti-candida diets, it's actually worth getting tested. Most nutritional therapists do this. So find out if you do, or don't have, for example, an underlying candida problem, or leaky gut, or liver. Get yourself tested and take each of those areas of digestion individually and do it thoroughly. It's better to explore an area thoroughly and find that it doesn't work because you can then tick it off and say, that one does not relate to me. And number three, be proactive sorting out psychological issues. Explore psychological factors. Partly because if you have been at any level experiencing reduced capacity for some time, it's going to generate psychological issues in anyone. It's impossible not to. But there may be other issues from our past that have been unresolved. However, exploring this avenue does not mean that all your symptoms are psychological. It can be a key, but not the whole thing. It's not an either or. Top tip number four, have hope that there is a way through. And in the meantime, one of the easiest things you can do is take supplements. Whatever else is going on, twice a day, down the hatch, because that alone can start to give you some of the energy you need to think more clearly and take other actions that you need to get better. And finally, a little spiritual support this week from the founders to end on. Being angry about being ill or what others do or don't do is fine if it's short-lived and we can do something about it. If it's a persistent state, it vexes our spirit. So what can we do to release it? We have chosen some great little words of advice from The Rules of Life by Richard Templar to share with you today. Would any of these help you to restore some inner harmony? Let your kids mess up for themselves. They don't need any help from you. Have a little respect and forgiveness for your parents. Know when to let go and walk away. We know that there will have been another part of your recovery combination lock revealed this week, so practice this little affirmation and have a healthful and peaceful week. I open my heart to myself. I deserve to love myself as I love others. Look forward to seeing you next week.